You're listening to SBS News.
We're not talking hundreds. We're now moving into the tens of thousands. We're at Rwanda-level killing.
There are fears for tens of thousands of civilians trapped in the western Sudanese city of Al-Fashir after the paramilitary rapid support forces overran the military's last stronghold in the Darfur region. Aid groups and observers are now documenting cases of mass killings and other atrocities. SBS spoke with Nathaniel Raymond of the Yale Humanitarian Research Lab about the gravity of the crisis. And just a warning, this interview contains graphic descriptions. Nathaniel Raymond, thank you for speaking with SBS. You've just released a new report based on satellite imagery of Al-Fashir. Can you tell me what its main findings are?
We've been able to confirm in the past few hours that there has been a mass killing at the Saadi Hospital in Al-Fashir. We see objects consistent with human bodies with a white color, consistent potentially with statements by the Al-Fashir Resistance Committee that doctors, nurses, and patients were systematically executed in and around the hospital. Additionally, we also have reports that there had been killings in the vicinity of the hospital outside the compound. We see objects consistent with human bodies. So when you're looking at satellite imagery, a human body lying horizontally has a mean measurement between 1.3 to 2 meters long when lying horizontally. We see a pile of objects where the individual objects in that pile meet the human dimensions. They were not present 24 hours ago. Additionally, we see at a former children's hospital in the eastern part of Al-Fashir that had been turned into an alleged detention center by RSF. Yesterday, we saw an imagery collected yesterday morning, a line of people lined up in that facility at the former children's hospital. They are a dark color, and they're standing at the time of the collection. Today, we see a pile of objects consistent with those objects that were standing. They're now in a pile a day later. They are not moving. And we believe we've seen a mass killing site operated by the RSF. Additionally, we had documented on Monday clusters of objects consistent with the dimension of a human body by the earth wall that's surrounding the city that the RSF built to trap people. Today, we can see those objects have not moved, and there are new objects piled on top of them. Additionally, we see RSF-consistent vehicles with what are called gun-mounted technicals, basically Toyota Hilux pickup trucks with a 50 cal machine gun in the back, around in the area near the berm where the objects consistent with human bodies appear to have multiplied. Additionally, as we documented yesterday, we see discolorations around many of the bodies on the ground, especially when they're in a cluster. When we do an image color processing analysis, the color that comes back is called true red. That is consistent with people having been shot with a heavy weapon and bleeding out. And so we are seeing this pattern of human dimension consistent objects across the city that were not there 48 hours ago, in many cases with discolored earth around them, suggesting that there had been a mass bleed out of people. We also see C-shape and J-shape objects. That's really important forensically because when a body hits the ground, it will often lay flat in an I shape, or depending on how the person fell, depending on the bend at the waist, it can be a J, or at the knees and the head, it can be a C. And so we're seeing C and J shapes in areas where there is a tactical disposition of the vehicles consistent with house-to-house killing, what we call a area clearance tactical posture. And so they're using pickup trucks to block alleys and side roads so people can't escape from their homes in areas where we know civilians were sheltering. In other words, we have 48 hours out, mounting evidence of mass killing in Al-Fasher by RSF forces in areas where civilians had sought refuge during the siege.
In your analysis of this imagery over the last 48 hours, is there any indication as to the number of people that have been killed in the city?
We received ground reports from leaders from one tribal ethnic group yesterday. At the start of yesterday, they were saying they had lost 1,200 from their group, which I'm not identifying for security purposes. By evening, they said they had lost 10,000. Then we've lost contact with them by today. To answer your question directly, how many? Well, we're going to go back and we're going to count every single one of those objects. But what I can tell you is we're not talking hundreds. We're not talking less than 10,000. We're now moving into the tens of thousands in terms of the proliferation of these human dimension consistent objects that were not there when SAF was still in control, Sudan Armed Forces. And following in the past 48 hours since RSF has taken control of the city, these little dots are proliferating everywhere. And we are receiving two additional pieces of data, which is one, the videos that RSF is taking themselves is consistent with this type of wanton target of opportunity mass killing on a large scale. And second, those who have made it to the safe haven of Tooele, there's not many of them coming. And so, and the ones that are women. And what they're reporting is that the men were separated from them. And as they went over the berm, the earthen wall, they heard gunshots. And the RSF said the men would come later, but they never came. So when we do this type of analysis, and we make this very clear in the new report, we are constantly running alternate hypotheses to explain phenomena seen in satellite imagery, particularly in conflict areas where, like Al-Fasher, the communication system is down. And so we have to be very conservative. So what should be shocking here for your viewers is that our analysis of these dots is extremely conservative. And why it's conservative is that in the areas where we see the piles growing, there is no alternate hypothesis given the video evidence to explain what those objects are because of their consistency in size, their lack of motion, their common attributes of bending to C and J, and most importantly, the discoloration of the ground in areas where armed technicals with heavy weapons are present, that would be consistent with the type of bleed out seen from getting hit with a 50 caliber machine gun at point blank range.
And based on this level of death and killing that you've described to me, how does this compare to what you've previously seen in the war and also previous wars in the region?
And I'll even say previous wars globally. I've been doing this work with satellite imagery for 15 years. I've been a war crimes investigator since I graduated college, now for 26 years. The scale of killing that we're seeing now, the hyperviolence, where you have potential blood pools visible from space across the city, combined with the critical word here is velocity of violence, is unlike anything I've seen in my career. And I've worked Syria, I've worked Afghanistan, I've worked Sudan, I've worked Ethiopia. I've done maybe 15 urban sieges. I've done and our team just in the past year has done well over 70 mass casualty events. None of them, including the previous violence in Darfur that we've documented, comes close to the scale we're talking. The UN assessment from this morning is 177,000 people were still trapped in Al-Fasher. At its height, the Al-Fasher metropolitan area, including the internally displaced persons camps, had a population larger than Gaza. So our internal estimate that we work on our team is at least a quarter of a million people based on a pattern of life assessment and other data points available to us were in the city at the time of the fall. which is in range of the UN number. Just to put this in perspective, we're at Rwanda level killing. And the world at this moment should be laser-like focused on what is happening in Al-Fashir. The implications of what is occurring there may not be obvious to those watching at home, but they will be, because what is happening here is a challenge to our common morality. The world is looking into the mirror of Al-Fashir, and the level of our character and common humanity is being reflected back at us. And right now, what we're seeing in that mirror is pretty ugly.
And the Biden administration, in one of its last foreign policy moves, declared that the RSF was committing genocide in Sudan. Do you think this reaches that threshold?
Absolutely. And I'll give you some news here. Until February and March of 2024, my team and I worked for the Biden administration, for the United States government, as the tactical team called the Conflict Observatory Sudan. In the summer of 2023, we privately briefed the UN Security Council and told them that this was coming 2.5 years ago. We also sent a message within the Biden administration, an alert that went to the U.S. National Security Council, the U.S. National Intelligence Council, saying that we had an imminent threat of the events that are happening right now. And we wrote a memo in July of 2023, after the Jenina massacre in West Darfur, saying that an atrocity determination needed to be issued, which wasn't issued till December of 2023. And we believed that from what we could assess, everything that we could assess in our matrix rose to the level of genocide. That was well over 18 months before Secretary Blinken finally issued the genocide declaration. We had been screaming internally within the State Department for a genocide declaration as early as the summer of 2023, just based on the Mosalit killings in El Geneina. So here, what is this? Is this genocide? Yes, but it's not just genocide. This is the final battle for the completion of the Darfur genocide that began 20 years ago. This is the victory of the Janjaweed, the children of the Janjaweed, in the campaign of killing for which Ali Khushaib was convicted just 2 weeks ago at the International Criminal Court. And so what we are looking at here is genocide, but the final battle of the Darfur genocide that began nearly a quarter century ago.
And when you say this is the final battle, and it seems as though the Janjaweed has been successful in it, what do you make of the international response in failing to stop this?
I could give you my canned Yale academic response right now, but I'll give you a human one. I want to throw up in my mouth all the time. My career, my vocation, what gets me out of bed and eating my Wheaties in the morning is protecting civilians in war. And the international response has been really an affirmation of the statement by Frederick Douglass about slavery, where he said, power concedes nothing without a demand. There was no demand here. Like 20 years ago, there were no protests in the street. Did you see lawn signs? Did you see students wearing bracelets that said Save Darfur? Was anyone writing the Prime Minister of Australia saying we need to save Al-Fashir? What happened here is that for the West, our relationship with the United Arab Emirates, which the Wall Street Journal has revealed today that U.S. intelligence had assessed that the amount of weapons going from UAE to the Rapid Support Forces, including weapons that our team documented in combat in and around Al-Fashir, including a CH-95 Chinese-made fixed-wing drone, that these weapons have come from the UAE to the RSF. And so at the end of the day, what has happened here is that we wanted to go shop duty-free at Terminal 1 in Dubai and go swim in the ocean in Jumeirah Beach by Burj Al Arab more than the lives of these people mattered to us. That's what happened here. And so we need to take a moment, and we need to be accountable, and we need to feel shame, because these people are dead because their lives didn't matter enough to us, us being the governments of the world. We just didn't care, and they died.
Tyson Cusey, SBS News.